نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. It is reported something to the effect of the Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Someone saw a dream in which the person saw Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, some wali of Allah, some great alim. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said, Sheikh Zakaria Sahib, اپنے معاصر پر سبقت لے گئے ایک خاص عمل کی وجہ سے وہ جو برابر کرتے ہیں. Now that was the mafhum of what Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said in the dream to this person. So he reported it to Hazrat Shaykh. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi said, of course he was so humble that it is well known. There are so many incidents about his humility, but in this instance, he said, like that, I don't know of any amal of mine which is maqbool or that has reached that stage that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given this glad tiding. But there is one amal that I do make on Fridays, and that is this recitation of 80 times Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin in Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima, which according to the hadith, if a person recites after Asr, then 80 years of ibadat sawab is written in his Nama-i Amal and 80 years of sins are forgiven. Of course, whenever we say so many years of sins are forgiven, it refers to minor sins. And if the person doesn't have sins, then of course it is a means of his elevation of the status. So he says, from the time that he came across this hadith, he never neglected reading it. And that was almost about 45 years when this dream was seen. He says, about 45 years now that I am reading it. Now why is there so much of sawab given for this Durud Sharif after Asr on a Friday? If we have to look at our condition, then we know that it is the most difficult time for the majority of the people to sit after Asr and read this Durud Sharif. After Asr, to sit and read this Durud Sharif is very difficult. The businessman, where has he got time now to sit here and read Durud Sharif? The student of madrasa generally gets break after Asr. I don't know very much here in the madaris, but in our institutions we used to get a break Asr to Maghrib. So now that is tafri time. So now the person is going to make tafri or he's going to sit and read. He wants to go for a walk. And I always say that sometimes the tafri by the students is made in such places where they experience tafri. Very strong wind of fitnas. Tafri, when they go to make, sometimes the tafri is made in such places that there is tafri. Inna arsalna alayhim rihans sarsara. So the tafri also must not be made in such places where we fall into fitnas. In many institutions, because those madrasas are in residential areas, and where else are they going to go for a walk? So they come out of the madrasa and they go into the bazaars. And then there's a lot of fitnas there. So being students, sometimes they get caught up in some fitnas. So the tafri must not be made in places where you know there's going to be tafri of fitnas. So it is difficult on Fridays to sit and read the Durud Salam or read this Durud Sharif. Generally for the all categories of people, all walks of life, people from all walks of life, on a Friday to sit after Asr and read is difficult because of so many different occupations. So the sawab also increases in accordance with the mujahada that the person makes. The dua that you read in the bazaar, the duas or the tasbih, that we have to read when we are going into the bazaar and marketplace. What is the tasbih? Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu yuhyi wa yumeet. And in some it is mentioned wa huwa hayyun la yamut. So why is the sawab of that so much? Because the bazaar is a place of fitna. So because it is a place of fitna, the person is remembering Allah Ta'ala in such a place, so the reward also is tremendous. So this Durood Sharif also, which is recited after Asr, of course we must not consider any of these actions as farz wajib. That is very, very important. Like if I am in the habit of reading it, then after Asr I look right, I look left, I look behind me, how many people walked out and didn't sit and read. So then we rather don't read it. If reading it brings a kind of takabbur, fakhar in our hearts, if it brings an elevation, brings pride, then we rather go in the car and on the way home read it. We should never look at who read and who didn't read. Encouragement is a different thing. You encourage your friend, you encourage the musallis, you encourage the others to read. But never let it reach that stage where there is no differentiation between what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, what is mustahab. Now this is another area where we as students of deen, we do not keep things in its proper perspective, and we do not keep everything in its proper stage and level. Our attitude towards some mustahab is like that which a person would make with something that is farz. So if we see somebody negligent in some mustahab act, we become very angry and annoyed, and our reprimanding reaches the stage of reprimanding somebody when he is neglecting a farz. So that is extremely important, that the student of deen, and especially an alim or a mufti or a student of a darul ulum, that he must know the difference between farz, wajib, sunnat, mustahab, nafil and all those things, and keep everything at its proper level. So if we are reading, we must make shukar of Allah Ta'ala that he gave us tawfiq of reading. But if somebody is not reading, we must not consider him to be a fasiq or committing some major sin that he didn't sit after Asr and read this Durood Sharif. Then we will become like Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali. He says that I was in the masjid with my father and we slept there and we got up for tahajjud. When we made our tahajjud, we looked around, we saw lots of people didn't make tahajjud. So I told my father, look at all these people, they're sleeping, they didn't even make tahajjud. So my father said that in that case it was better that you also didn't make. It was better that you also didn't make, because by your saying that you washed away your tahajjud. One was encouragement, that is a different thing, that you encourage the person. But the moment you think that I am better than somebody because of some nafil action or some nafil amal or some mustahab amal, then you are exceeding the limit. Now this, we don't sometimes remember, shaitan makes us slip and we think that the other person committed some act of sometimes even kufar will think. Oh, that is how we reprimand the person. So in all amals which are optional, there must be gentle persuasion, encouragement, targhib. Targhib with hikmah, that is also important. That you must look at the level of the person before making nasihat. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was traveling in a train and he saw one person with his pants below his ankles. So they get very upset when they see any person that is violating a hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Their anger is not like our anger. Our anger is over worldly and material things. Their anger is for the sake of deen. So when they look at somebody that's violating a hukam of Allah Ta'ala, that anger for the sake of deen sometimes overpowers them, and they want to say something to that person. And sometimes it is not anger but their shafqat. That anger is also with shafqat. Their anger is with compassion, that they don't want to see this person going to Jahannam. They are giving that nasihat because they don't want to see him going to Jahannam. So there's compassion with it. It's not a kind of just giving vent to some anger. One buzrug went outside the house, and then within a short time he returned, and he had very high temperature. So his wife asked him, what happened? You went outside without any temperature, and short time you return with such high temperature. But in any case, he covered himself with a blanket. And then they came to know, when he went outside, he saw something. What we see every day and nothing happens, doesn't even stir our heart, doesn't cause a frown on our forehead. But he saw something that was, accidentally his eye fell on, two people were doing something which was immoral, which we take for as a norm of our societies today. If a stranger kisses a strange woman, then it's nothing in our society. But for them, just seeing that, he got such a high temperature for some action like of that nature. So their anger is also for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Their ghazab is not for dunyavi reasons. Their muhabbat is for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, their ghazab is for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So this nasihat also must be done with hikmah. Yes, I was giving you the incident of Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali in the train. So he made nasihat. So that person turned round and said that, who said so, that you must have your pants above the ankles? So he said, shariat mein hai. He said, tumhari shariat ki aisi taisi. Nauzubillah. In other words, in crude language, you will say, Nauzubillah min zalik, to hell with your shariat. That's what it means in English. So he says he got such a shock, and he got so disappointed, and he felt so hurt within himself, that why did I make this person nasihat when I didn't know him? He was a stranger. That means here now the statement of his took him out of the pale of Islam also. Up till now at least he was a Muslim, but now he, by virtue of that statement, he came out of the pale of Islam. So he said that first I should have made him comfortable. I should have spoken to him. And then when I saw that this person has got the capacity to accept what I say, or now that the ground has been turned, then I should have made that nasihat. So even that nasihat must be made at the right time. Har maalum ka izhar zaruri nahi hai. For the students that are here, har maalum ka izhar zaruri nahi hai. There are lots of maalumat, lots of information that we have, but it's not necessary to make izhar of all the maalumat all the time. There are certain maalumat which you will make izhar at the appropriate time. When the time is right, then you will make izhar of that ma'lumat. Hazrat Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that you make nasihat to the person when he is engaged in something wrong. One is general nasihat. In a bayan you will say a lot of things. So whoever the cap fits, the person will wear it. The general bayan is a different thing, but I'm talking about individual. That now you see the individual in some kind of haram action, or so when must you make him nasihat to him directly, that don't do this, it is not right, do it this way. You say when that person considers, if you have to take your shoes and give him a few shots on his head, and to him those shots are tastier than the chapati, then you must make that nasihat. Some delicious chapati or roti, to him those shots must taste like that. Until then, he said, don't give him direct nasihat. say it indirectly. क्या कह रहे थे शिक्य कौन सा मजमून चल रहा था what was I trying to get in any case we are talking about this recitation of this Durud Sharif then after Asar it is difficult that is why the sawab is also tremendous so we will read the 80 times first then we proceed اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما
اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما
Today is Juma, it is after Asar, so let us follow it up with the 40 Durud Salam also, inshallah. And who knows, after that is the closing hours of the, in closing minutes of the day of Juma. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know that, how she is to engage herself in dua at that moment. Because of that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that there is a sa'ah or there is some moment in on the day of Jummah that when dua is made at that time, Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua. So the majority of scholars of hadith, it is their opinion that that is towards the closing minutes of the day of Jummah, which is before Maghrib, after Asr. We make use of that opportunity. We don't get these opportunities in our normal life because of studies or because of other occupation. So when we have freed ourselves for a little bit of islah of the nafs, then must make it a little difficult for the nafs. Tie the nafs down. Make it do these a'mal which we neglect all the year round generally. Because we take it for granted that whatever is nafil, whatever is mustahab, then it is nafil and mustahab, meaning that you must not do it. A talib ilm's definition of nafil and mustahab and adab and etiquettes is that it is nafil, meaning that it must not be done. That is our interpretation of nafil, our interpretation of mustahab. Whereas the mustahabbat, the nawafil, the adab, the etiquettes, all these things, they increase that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. One is a person does his duty. Now if you employ someone and he works 8 to 5, so he works 8 to 5 and he says assalamu alaikum. In fact, he's got his coat on half an hour before time and he arrives half an hour after time. And especially with a municipal worker, then generally after arrival also first they must have their bribe and they must have their tea, and half the day will go in that. So if the person, but if there is a person that is working time to time and he goes away, so he will get his salary, he will get his wage for the day. But there's another person that says that, no, this master of mine is such a wonderful person that besides my salary, see, he takes care of my other needs. If my wife and children are sick, then you'll give me a little extra, then go and take them to the hospital or take them to the doctors. If there is any mayat in the family, he gives me off and he doesn't deduct my wage. He doesn't shout at me, so therefore, now and again I too want to do a little extra, because he has been very kind to me. Not for the sake of wages or anything, but just out of muhabbat. So this master who has been kind already, now if this person is going to do a little extra for him, you think he's not going to increase his kindness? Agar duniya mein koi mulazim apne aqa ke liye jo khidmat unke supurd ki gayi hai usse zaid kare, kyunki wo aqa bahut hi shafiq hai, meherban hai, to kya wo jab zaid kaam karega to wo apni shafqat ko khatam kar denge? He will increase that shafqat, he will increase that those inayat and those bounties. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has been so kind to us, he gave us all the ni'mats. Now if we are doing these mustahabbats and nawafil for the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to show that we've got muhabbat for him. Why do we make tahajjud? It's not farz, it's not wajib, but out of muhabbat for Allah ta'ala. So then Allah ta'ala is not going to deprive us of those bounties. As it is, he has been so kind and giving us so much. So when the person is going to do these amal, then it will increase his bounties. But of course, there is a time for everything. Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali was traveling with one alim, and that alim was also a buzruk person. They were on a journey, and then the time came for Maghrib Salat. So after Maghrib Salat, it was getting dark, and there they were traveling on that, in the horse carriage. So it was getting a little dark too. But this alim said, "Nahi, meri to aadat hai awwabin padhne ki, aur maine kabhi usko qaza nahi ki. To isliye main to apni awwabin padhta hoon." So he said, "Pura kafla thehr gaya, now he's reading awwabin." So he was an alim, but he wasn't a faqih. Alim hona aur hai, aur faqih hona aur hai. Hazrat Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, they were traveling and it was time for Fajr, but they somehow fell asleep, and it was now just towards the last part of Fajr, just before Subh Sadiq, just before sunrise. There wasn't much time. So Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, he was the shagird of Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, "Now you make the namaz." So he made two rakat namaz, and he read Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas in those two rakats. So what did his imam say? What did his ustad say? Sara Yaqubuna faqihan. MashaAllah, faqih ban gaye. Because if there was another person who was made imam at that time, then he would have started his qiraat, and if the sun would have risen, so the namaz would have become qaza. So at that time, the khushu of that namaz was what he did. The khushu is different for different occasions. We were traveling to Cape Town, and at the airport here in Durban, it was just about 3 or 4 minutes left to check in, and they had already announced. So Hazrat Mullah Kimad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum and a few others were with a few years ago. So they insisted that I make the imamat. So in that namaz, we did not make the namaz in the normal way as we would make with khushu and khuzu, because of the time factor, the limitation. So I made the namaz very mukhtasar and completed it. So Hazrat said, "Is waqt ka khushu yahi tha." Is waqt jis tarah namaz padhi gayi, uska khushu yahi tha. So everything has got a place. So now if a person is in the habit of tahajjud, ishraq, chaash, tawabin, it doesn't mean that if the lessons, the ustad is waiting there, he says, "No, where is the talib ilm?" He says, "He's making Awwabin, yes, then he'll come. Where is the Taliban? He's making muraqabah. How long will his muraqabah be? He says sometimes 1 hour, sometimes 2 hours, depending. Because sometimes he reaches the arsh and takes long time to come down from there. So this is an occasion for everything. When a bayan is taking place, for example, after Isha Salat, now the two nafil, if the person is going to read, he may be holding up the whole congregation. So at that time he'll make his two sunnah, three witr and sit down and listen to the bayan. Because we do not know how many others may just listen to that bayan, because it started quickly and then they will get hidayat. So where we read the other hadith, also there's this hadith, that to learn one verse of the Quran Sharif, you get the sawab of 100 rakats of salat. And to learn one chapter of deen, 1000 rakats of salat, better than that. So that is a nafil salat. So now this person is sitting down quickly because of that. Not that he's not in the habit of reading nafil namaz. So for everything there is an occasion. We must have an understanding. We must not just go by the letter. Fiqh is very important. Tafaqqu fi ddeen is very important. That where to apply what rule. Then there won't be ikhtilafat. Even if there is, then it will be within the hudud and it's not going to reach a stage of arguments and quarrels and fights and criticism, etc. It will be within the hudud. Ikhtilafat, how many pages can you really go in the kitab without ikhtilafat? Especially in fiqh, when you are doing hidayah and other kitabs, in every page you will find ikhtilaf. Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But their ikhtilaf never reached the stage of fight or disrespect or argument. Within the hudud they said whatever had to be said. They had dalail. They spoke on the strength of the dalils. And they never desired that it must be forced down another person's throat. Now, that is also very important for the talib ilm, or for the student of deen, or for an alim, or mufti, that if you have dalil and you give your ruling on an issue, or you have an opinion on an issue, then you present that opinion on the basis of dalail. And if somebody has some other dalail, because it is a mujtahad fi thing, it's not nasya qati, it's mujtahad fi, there can be ijtihad in it. So there, if there is, because you are making istimbat, ijtihad is something else, but you are making istimbat. So at that time, if you have an opinion, then never ever try to force it down the other mufti's throat. That because that is my opinion and I have made a research, so it must be like that. You must be able to respect the other person for his opinion, which is based on research and it is based on Quran and Sunnah. But because of the other opinion, then we will follow whichever mufti we have got confidence on. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, Is zamane ka taqwa fatwa par amal karna hai. The taqwa of these days is to make amal on the fatwa. Yes, the person should not be going around to 20 different muftis to get a fatwa to suit his taste. He went to one mufti on whom he has confidence. All his life he asked that mufti for fatwas. But on this occasion, because the mufti gave the fatwa that the talaq is valid and the nikah is over, because the talaq is valid, so the nikah is invalid now. The nikah has ended and terminated. So now he goes to different muftis. Then he must find one mufti who will say, no, but you gave talaq when you were very angry, so that's why the talaq is not valid. So which person gives talaq when he's not angry? Now that talaq of the ghadban and all that is a different masla. Person's anger reach which level? That level of insanity, that a person is gone mad. So just try, see if he's got $1,000 in his pocket, and he says, I was very angry that time. I didn't know what I was doing. So ask him if somebody put their hand in that pocket to take the $1,000 out, at that time his aqal was still there, or he didn't bother about that too. Or like that person went to that one mufti and he asked him a fatwa. So he said the talaq is valid. You gave 3 talaqs, so that's the end of the marriage. So he went around looking for some other mufti who can give him some fatwa that is not valid. So he found one. He said, yeah, but it will cost you so much. So he gave him whatever it cost, and then he gave the fatwa. He said, you see, tajweed is extremely important in the pronunciation of words. Now I'm sure when you gave talaq, you didn't take out the qalqala properly. Talaq, talaq. So therefore the talaq is not valid. Now is that fatwa there? He said, qalqala was important when you said talaq. Yeah, Mawlana said, that must be the grand mufti. So for a student of deen, he must also be a faqih. Tafaqquh fi deen. Where to say what and how much to say. Mawqa shanasi, mardum shanasi, as they say in the Jamaat. Mawqa shanasi, mardum shanasi. See the time, occasion, place, person, then say. If you think that person will digest what you are saying, then you can say even in harsh words. But if not, then just make dua. Dua is also one means of da'wat. That the person is engaged in something that is haram, something that is prohibited, forbidden, but that is not the occasion to tell him. They are playing cards there, or they are playing dice there and gambling, or the person is engaged in some drinking, or is in the casino. Now we got Josh and we say we're going to go and make nasihat. Now there, if you're going to make nasihat to that person, and he's a stranger also, and he say, mind your own business, na'uzubillah. Oh, you people are only stuck with your na'uzubillah, Quran and Hadith. We get statements like this. So we will become the cause of his losing his iman. So at such a time, what do you do? Make a lot of dua. Make shukr over the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala gave to us to make the amal, and make dua for that person that Allah Ta'ala give him also hidayat. One buzrug, he says, when he goes past a cinema or a theater or somewhere where there is a queue of people, and those people are about to enter that cinema or theater. Now you don't know those people, but in Pakistan, of course, you know that 90% they are must be Muslims, or in a Muslim country. So he said, at that time I read the dua, Alhamdulillah illazi aafani mimmabtalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafzila. Now we know this dua is for what? When do you read this dua? When you go to visit it? When you see a person who is suffering some kind of calamity, disaster, is sick, or is paralyzed, or is blind, or something like that, then this is a dua that you make. Allah's fazal that He saved us from that bala in which this person is involved. So you say, I read that because these people are sick. Now you're making dua that Allah Ta'ala's fazal that He saved us, otherwise we could have been in that queue and they could have been in our place. So it's Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that He made us sit here, otherwise what was it difficult for? Allah Ta'ala could have made us being in that person's place. So isliye kisi ko haqeer mat samjho, guna se nafrat karo, gunegar se nafrat mat karo. Gunegar توبہ کر کے اللہ تعالیٰ کا ولی بن سکتا ہے, اور ہم اس کو حقیر سمجھیں گے تو پتہ نہیں کہاں چلے جائیں گے. So don't look down upon the person, because that person can make توبہ. It's like a children when they play sometimes. Now they put boot polish on their face. They take the boot polish and they paint the other person's face, or sometimes their own face. Now it's a very handsome little boy or very pretty little girl. with a face shining like that of the moon. But now the little brother took that boot polish and painted her face black. So now you don't look down upon that person and say you are like this and like that, because all that's required is take soap and wash it out and that face will shine again. So that person who is committing sins, the person has engaging in any kind of sin, that person has got boot polish over his heart. So all that is required is some soap, some detergent of Tawbah, and that heart will again shine. The brightness will come away on that heart. But if we think of ourselves as being afzal, then that darkness will come away onto our heart. And that sometimes with the waters of the seven oceans too, it won't go, unless we also make Tawbah and use the same detergent. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. There's not much time now, so engage yourself in dua.